Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Demetra Gray Show. I have a very exciting topic today and guest. Her name is Jess Mather. Is that how you say your last name? Mm-hmm. You could say
perfect.
Hi. Hi. and I have her here because we're gonna talk about this topic that has been really front of mind lately. So you may have seen on social media that I made a post recently about how a man followed me home and I had to kind of set boundaries with him and I got him to go away. And it had me reflect on how without this self-defense training and verbal boundary setting training that I had in the past, that it would have been a lot more difficult for me to do so. And there's been a lot of questions coming up recently in the membership Jordan and I have about women just being like, what do I do when a man approaches me in the store and he like hits on me in front of my kids and he's being really gross and like, I don't know how to tell him to go away and things like that. And so I wanted to do a whole episode about it. And Jess, this is like a very big part of her life, this self-defense and this kind of boundary setting and training. And you may have heard me mention Jess because I've been working with her around my knee and she's helped me immensely. Well, now my whole body, originally my knee. And I became connected with Jess online. I can't really remember. I think it was like many years ago. We just became connected on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how I don't even really know like your history of your experience, like this, like where it sort of started from. So I feel like it would be good if you could give us maybe like what you do now, like just who you are and what you do. And then I'd love to hear where this initially became important.
It's like self-defense work.
Yeah. And just like your experiences with men when you were younger, like what sort of got you into this realm of things?
Yeah. And it's probably very similar to a lot of other women, like we were talking before we hopped on this podcast, is that a lot of women share this experience. So there was a quote I learned a few years ago when I was doing more training and trauma training and nervous system work. And it went something like, since the first breath we take, we're on a quest to find safety in our bodies. And that always stuck with me. I always resonated with that. Like we're always looking for safety. Our body's always orienting towards safety and survival. And then if we've had certain experiences where we feel like our bodily autonomy was taken away or we felt really threatened physically, that can be even more heightened for some of us. So we really feel like we need to get that self-protection. Because a lot of people don't go into self-defense and self-protection work because they're like, well, that won't happen to me. That's not going to be me. That happens to other people. But when you've had enough experiences or you've seen enough experiences with other people, you're like, you know what? Like, this really does happen to a lot of people and it's necessary and I matter enough to do this work. So I wouldn't say that there was necessarily maybe one incident that really pushed me to do it, to go into more self-defense. It's been so tied into the work that I do in rehab and strength training is that it was always about feeling more safe and strong in the body, feeling like this is my space, this is my body, and I have ownership over this. I have this autonomy. So it sort of bled into the personal self-defense work. But one moment in particular that stood out, you know, I grew up in a small town in Maine and not much happened there. So we had free range a lot of the time. And then I moved to a big city in Jacksonville, Florida, where I went to college. And I love to ride my bike. I rode my bike all the time. And I was doing my normal bike ride in a nice area in Jacksonville. I was living with my father at the time when I was going to school. And I'm riding my bike down the road. And I see this car that's going the right way down the road. And then it spins around in the middle of the road, like illegally does a U-ey to come back and follow beside me. And this older man is yelling at me from his car, like, hey, hey, hey. And I'm already freaked out because now he's like all weird in the road. He's going really slow next to me. I'm just on my bike. And I panicked. It was such an intense panic in my body. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. We're in public in broad daylight. It's maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but his energy, right? Like when you feel somebody who feels like a predator and they want you and they're he did something risky to do a Yui in the middle of the road to come after me. I was like, this is not okay. And he kept trying to lure me to his car in the middle of the road. Like, you just wonder what's going through these people's minds. Like,
yeah,
you're not coming to your car. So I panicked and I whipped my bike around and I started biking as fast as I could in the opposite direction so he couldn't follow me. And then went down dad's driveway. We had like a private drive. And I just remember going all the way in the back of his yard by the back of the shed and just like throwing my bike down and panting heavily. Like I was
my
so
God.
Panicked. And I was like, that was not good. That was not good the way that I responded. That was not good the what he did. And it freaked me out. I didn't trust myself after that moment
what
to
do you
know what
mean
to do if that happened.
Like, what wasn't good about the way you responded, do you think?
I was so panicked. I was so scared that I was not processing what was going on. I just was like, I need to get out of here now. And that's not the first time that's happened or I just go into a freeze state.
Yeah.
And that was my scariest because, yeah, fleeing, right? So you have fight, flight, or freeze, or fawning, right?
Yeah.
But that flee response, yeah, I got out of danger's way, but I was so dysregulated and so panicked. I mean, there, it wasn't a safe escape, we'll put it that way. It was a panicked, reactive, and very distressing escape.
Yeah. And had he, had you been in a different situation maybe, or he responded differently, like you couldn't necessarily trust, like you got away that time, but you couldn't
yes.
necessarily trust like that you would have gotten away in a different
yep.
scenario.
Totally. And just the way that it ramped me up so much, like the fear that it ensued in me, I was like, oh, like this is something that like if this happens again, and it did happen again and again and again and again and
yeah.
again. I'm like, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah. So then what happened? Did it like did that lead you into self-defense stuff, or did the self-defense
No.
stuff just naturally sort of
No, because I didn't really grasp that that was something that I could do. It wasn't like
right.
I did some kickboxing with mom when I was around maybe 16, 17, because I must have still been in high school then. But it was like kickboxing, it wasn't self-defense. It was like we were on stage like doing routines, right? So it wasn't like self-defense. So I didn't have that awareness that I could do something like that. Those weren't
Right.
conversations. We didn't really have social media back then when I was in college. So it wasn't something I was aware of. I just knew that wasn't good. And then it happened repeatedly. It happened a few more times where one time, I know you know what it's like to feel the energy of somebody on you.
Yeah.
It's like not good. Like your gut says no, no, no. So I rode my bike. I was in Colorado, nice grocery store. And I emphasized that these were in nice areas because we think, oh, I'm fine. I live in a nice area. Like I got
Yeah.
stalked in a Whole Foods parking lot. Like it
Yeah.
does not matter. If somebody is a predator and you look vulnerable, it does not matter.
Yeah.
So I was in a nice grocery store. It's called Sprouts in Colorado, nice area in Denver. And immediately, as soon as I walk in that door, I felt a man's energy on me. I remember he was over by like the nuts and seeds in the bulk. I still remember like that vision, right?
Yeah.
And he did not feel good. He looked like somebody from out of the country, like something from like Russia or something like that, where he had an accent, I remember. And oof, like even just thinking about that energy. And I think that's number one, we don't always pay attention to that. And I didn't. I went through that store and I could feel him kind of following me around the store. But I was like, but we're just in a grocery store and it's okay. And I don't want to be paranoid. And
yeah.
then I go to checkout. He's right behind me in the checkout line and he's standing close. Like I'm feeling really uncomfortable and I'm feeling like spacey, right? And I'm like, it's okay. I'm in a grocery store. It's fine. It's probably my imagination. I'm not trusting my intuition. I leave the grocery store. I'm feeling like, ugh, like I want to shake off that energy. I get on my bike and there's a trail that goes from the grocery store all the way to my apartment complex. It goes like from the back roads. So I get on my bike. I'm like, okay, that was weird, but I'm okay. And one of the trails passes a road. So I have to stop at the road to see. And there's a big white van that goes by and then it stops suddenly. And he jumps out of the van and starts running at me while I'm on the trail. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like I'm just like freaking out inside. And he runs at me, and he's running, and there's fortunately people around, and he says, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "Oh my God." And I'm like, "Did you follow me from the grocery store?" He's in an unmarked large white van,
Yeah,
suddenly is able to
he's a
intercept me like half a mile away from the grocery store. So clearly, like, he was following where I was going. And thank God there were like people walking towards me because I froze. I was so like terrified. So he saw the other people too. He saw the people coming. He acknowledged that there were other people suddenly on the trail. And then I just like gunned it down the trail because he
on your
couldn't
bike
follow me
still.
on my bike, because he couldn't follow me in his van on that trail, right? So the road was
Right.
just
Okay.
intersecting it. So
And I
I
guess he
just gunned
couldn't
it all the
run
way
after
home.
your bike. He didn't like try to knock you off the bike.
No, he came at me, but there were people like standing there
Okay.
too. So there were people walking towards us. So yeah, he didn't try to like just come at me and jump at me, but he was running out of the van towards
Yeah.
me. So
Jeez.
when I
Did
got
what
home,
did the people do? Nothing?
I don't know if it looked that weird to them, or maybe they didn't quite notice at the time. It's just I was such in that
Yeah,
freezy
yeah,
state where I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know, but I just remember there was a couple walking towards us, and I remember feeling immense relief, like, okay, there's witnesses here, and like we're in broad daylight, right? Like we're
Yeah.
on a nice trail. People play, what's that, disc golf on this trail. So that day, like I got home to our apartment with my boyfriend at the time, and I said, I'm not going to the grocery store by myself anymore. Like, I'm
Yeah.
not doing this anymore. So what had happened was, instead of actually learning to protect myself, I just became more guarded. I
Right.
started to feel really untrusting of men. I only went to the grocery store with my boyfriend. I didn't want to go places alone. And I literally just like shut men out of my life
Yeah.
for years. And I was like, I didn't hate them, but I was like, well, I don't see the point of introducing them in my life if I've had so many experiences where they just felt like they were trying to get something from me. They looked at me as though I was prey.
Seems like a reasonable response to have to
Yeah,
those
it's like it makes sense to
experiences.
me. I had my boyfriend, like I was happy with him, so I kicked it with him. What really pushed me to do it is, you know, I got with Jason, my current partner, of almost 7 years now, and he introduced me more to self-defense because he taught Krav Maga for many years. And when I got with him, I think you'll understand this. It was one of the first times I really experienced strong, healthy, masculine energy. And also, I felt very, very respected, cared for, and loved
Yeah.
all at the same time. And I was like, what the heck is this? And
Yeah.
that gave me a little bit of an opening to start not just pushing men away all the time and feeling like, oh, I just have to be guarded. I have to be guarded all the time. I have to, you know, protect myself. If a man comes up to talk to me, he probably just wants something from me, right? So a lot of the ways that most women walk around the world is like, what do you want from me? You
Yeah.
know? Once I really saw, oh, okay, like masculine energy can be really safe and healthy and protective, and I'm pushing it all away.
Yeah.
And I needed to learn how to make that differentiator of like, okay, this is bad masculine, not bad, even not even bad masculine energy, but this is bad energy coming from a man, and
Right.
this is good, healthy masculine energy. And how can I get softer and less guarded in my body? Because it was too stressful to live like that. It was too stressful to feel like I had to be on guard, even on like a little unconscious levels. And then I said, I need to do something. And that's when Jason was like, you could try Krav. Like, these are things that you could try to get a more balanced perspective of men.
Yeah. Do you feel like now, so I know this can't prevent everything. Like, obviously, you had that man come to your house the other day, which you could mention if you want, but I'm wondering if like what you embody now in that knowledge and like that sort of feeling, like having had that training in your body, that do you feel like you look less like prey
I
out in
wonder
the
about
world,
that.
like compared to how you would have shown up, like when you're just walking around Whole Foods before?
I was wondering if that was the case. You know, it's hard to say, but I'm older now, right? So usually they'll prey on young girls. So even when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20, I looked much younger. So I probably just looked physically more vulnerable. I probably held my body differently. You know, I'm much more stronger now. I have more body awareness. We do learn in self-defense about how to hold your body and how to hold your energy where you're relaxed, but you're aware. So you're able to really expand your perception of what's around you, but you're not in this kind of paranoid darting space that you're able to be soft, but aware and alert. It's like being able to see everything in the camera lens at the same time. So we say, well, you're widening your perspective, right? When before I probably just had more my head down, and I was just in my little world, boop-a-doop-a-doop. And I'm sure I looked nervous or scared in those situations, and they probably fed on that. Like they could tell that, oh, she's scared versus, me being able to give them eye contact, right? Like similar how you did. It's like, hey, yeah, I see you. I'm acknowledging you. You know, there's a assertiveness about it that I did not possess at all in the past.
I think for me, that was like, I just noticed that so strongly. And they talked about that in the training I did about how they've done studies where, like, they talk to these men who prey upon women like this, and they're like always looking for the easiest prey, like almost all the time. They're not really looking for someone who's going to cause trouble or cause a scene or caught. And obviously, it's not to say that if someone like freezes or whatever, that it's their fault that they're easy prey, but it's just like that is what they're looking for. So the more you could not be that, the better that it is. And I just remember like, because I had always done little bits. Like, my dad took me to karate when I was young, which I'm really grateful for because it gave me, like, I wasn't as intimidated by self-defense worlds in a way I might have been had I not been exposed to it. I never went, like, I maybe did it for a year or two. It wasn't like very in depth, but it instilled in me like this feeling that being a good fighter was like very valued. Like, we used to
Super
spar after class, and they'd be like, oh, this little blonde girl is so good at sparring. And I was like, yeah, like,
pleasure.
I'm a good fighter. And so it opened me up to, like, in my 20s, kind of going, like, I did a couple of jujitsu classes and just like trying things out. But I never had that total. Like, my nervous system walking around the streets by myself totally changed after that training that I did, which was like, it was called the adrenal stress scenario training, but I think now they also call it something different. But I've never seen anything quite like it, where like their idea is to put you in that like primal brain mode so that you feel like the attack is happening and the men are all padded and you just like actually go through this interaction with them over and over of like they say gross things to you and then they come at you and you have to fight them off and you get this experience of like physically having done it. And I was living in LA at the time and I would get like, I was living in Hollywood and so I would walk down Hollywood Boulevard to like go to the gym. And so I would go in my gym clothes, which were like quite skimpy. And the whole way down, it would be like guy after guy after guy. It was just like all this. And I didn't really know. I think I went through so many different phases in my life from like when I was younger, like glaring at them. And then I got more into this like weird polarity, like submissive world where I was like, oh, I should just like welcome the cat calls in. So then I did that for a bit where I was like, oh, I'm just like loving this attention. But then I think I ended up in this place where I just became very able to just be like, I'm not interested in this. And I think I'm not interested is such a powerful phrase. And I think women feel so, a lot of women I've heard, they feel like it's rude or they don't want to be seen as rude or like impolite or like maybe he's being nice and I just should be nicer. But doing that training for me, like before I was scared to walk back to my apartment, I would always be like, totally on high alert, looking around, especially if it was darker. And after that, I was amazed at how, I mean, I was still obviously like aware of my surroundings, but I just felt so much calmer because I felt like if somebody does attack me, like I have a much better chance of knowing how I'll respond and that I'll respond well and that I'll like be able to fight him off. And that I didn't have that before because I didn't quite trust, like you said, like I didn't know if I would freeze, or I didn't know, like, if something really happened, what am I going to be able to do? Like, I could be kind of scrappy, but like, I don't really have any embodied knowledge of like what even to do. And I actually had, I was in Colombia once, and this is not like a man attacking me, but I had this sort of experience where I was like about right to cross the street, and this car came a flying around the corner, and I froze like in the middle of the street. My response to the car coming right at me, I just like completely froze, and my boyfriend at the time like shoved me. And then after that, I had that sort of experience of like, oh, like that can happen, and I might not be able to trust my body's response, because I just went into like I'm gonna die mode and I just froze. And then I was like, oh my God, it was like a different situation, but it was like our bodies are wired to do that, and it's not always like, yeah.
That's exactly what I went through, like with you in the car. Is like I was like, wow, I cannot trust this. And I, when you said about, you know, you're training your body to have this experience of fighting. I remember one of my jiu-jitsu teachers up in Maine, he said something like, I wrote a post about it a couple of years ago, something like, if somebody comes at you and you're on a roof and your options are to either fall or to fight, a lot of people just end up falling because they're more familiar with falling rather than fighting,
Wow.
because there's no, they don't have any examples of fighting and knowing that they can survive, but they're like, oh, I might be able to get this fall. I've fallen before. Maybe I'll be able to survive this fall. So it's interesting that everybody's nervous system can develop differently depending on, you know, what they use as coping strategies, right, as a child to get out of stressful situations. There's so many different factors come into play. It depends on the context, but I think, you know, the more we train these situations, like you're saying, you're put in those situations. I've been doing a lot of Sistema Russian martial arts, which has been fantastic because the core of it is a lot about actually relaxation and learning to work with the nervous system. So you're not all alert, because that's what I thought self-defense was. And Krav Maga was quite intense. Like, I still remember I met this girl who was around my age at the time in her 20s, and she had like this tough attitude about it, right? She was just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna mess him up, right? Like I'm tough girl, right? And I'm like, I don't want to be tough girl. Like I don't want to walk around like come fight me, you know? Like she wanted to find trouble in a way. Like she was like, you know, that sort of energy. And I'm like, I want to be mostly relaxed and soft in my body most of the time, but I want to know that I'm able to switch on. And that's more of the training I've gone into, and recognizing that you don't have to turn more armored or guarded when you do self-defense. You do it to actually be more relaxed in your body. The Sistema trains you be as relaxed as possible most of the time, or relaxed but alert, because then you can actually see more. If you're super stressed and you're paranoid, you're not going to be able to see everything that's actually around you. You're not going to be able to take in all of that input because there's so much going on. Like now, if I play back what happened when I went to that grocery store with that man, you know, I can play back all the little signs of him following me, of just what I've experienced in my body, how I experienced myself collapsing, right? And I didn't know how to self-adjust, and all those micro movements that could have prevented me from getting on that bike and going home, I would have watched him leave, right? Like there were so many little opportunities that I just weren't aware of in the moment.
And it's hard to be aware of them without kind of going through any sort of training, I feel like. How else would you really
Totally.
know?
Yeah. And especially if you get so tense, right? I was like nervous and jacked up that entire time in the grocery store that I wasn't able to just relax and take stock of like what's happening here. So in Sistema training, something that we train is a lot of unpredictability. So Sistema does not use any techniques. It's all
What is
about,
Sistema Russian?
yeah, Sistema is
Okay.
Russian. So it's familiar to me because I'm trained in Russian kettlebells. So some of the principles are the same. But Sistema martial arts, Sistema is just a system in Russian. So it's more of a, it's not an isolated training tool. Like you can use it. A lot of people who do systema also do judo or jiu-jitsu or other things, but the core of systema training is being able to be adaptable, because you never know how a fight is going to go down. You could train all the techniques in the world, but when you're there, like, you don't know if a weapon suddenly is going to be involved. You don't know if there's another attacker going to come to the side of you. You don't know if you're going to be in the water or if you're going to be in the woods. You don't know. There's so many different variables. So systema trains adaptability in your nervous system in a wide variety of circumstances, multiple attackers, with weapons, without weapons, with sticks, with knives, with, you know, firearms. Just so you know how to act and respond. And the whole idea of the relaxation is that so one of their principles is breathing and continuous movement. So keep moving and keep breathing, because otherwise you'll lose information that you need in order to respond in that moment appropriately.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Awesome. Yeah, it makes total sense. It's really
cool. It's overwhelming. It's intimidating. Like, we just did, I don't know, 3 hours on Saturday. It can be a lot. So I've seen, you know, I asked on a post before, like, women, what is your barrier of getting into self-defense? And a lot of them were saying, you know, I'm worried I'm going to get re-traumatized. I'm worried I'm going to get injured. Obviously is a concern, and I'm worried I'm going to get re-traumatized or triggered.
Yeah.
And that is a factor. Like, I had to stop for a while because I'd have a panic attack. It's intense. It really is intense. And what helped me a lot going through that is I still remember in that jiu-jitsu place in Maine, because it was a pretty hard jiu-jitsu gym and I was new. I didn't know anybody. And I mentioned to the instructor, like, you know, this is intimidating sometimes, you know. And he called over this guy who's in the back, like, all sweaty. He was sparring. And he said, come over here. He said, tell Jess how you feel after you fight. And he's like, oh, I feel like I'm going to puke. So this young, strong man who you think are like, these guys are like tough, you know, he would puke after every sparring match because he was so stressed and adrenalized and so freaked out. And that made me feel a lot more at home. I was like, everybody else in this room is also freaked out at some level. Like, even the men can be intimidated and freaked out.
Yeah. Wow. I also have really experienced that. I think, like, I've never seen more of a concentration of, like, really healthy masculine energy than in martial arts studios.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And, like, I think that, I don't know if a lot of women realize that, because, like, I think even just being around that can be really useful. And I used to say that, like, I never got super into BJJ, but, like, I loved going because it felt, not only was it nice to be around that kind of masculine energy, but it was also nice. It felt like there was an outlet for me to, like, physically fight in a non-sexual way, like, in a way where I was never being sexualized. And I could, like, roll around on the floor with a guy and try to get him off of me. And, like, there was no, like, weird, leaky, gross sexual stuff. It was just, like, I got to, like, go into that part of myself. Yeah, it was just, it felt like it was so nice and refreshing.
I love that you brought that up, because that was one of my intimidations when I started. And I said that to my partner too, because I'm like, is this, like, weird? And he said, these men are trying not to die also while they're training. Like, they're not thinking about that. Like, their brain is like, I need to make sure she's not going to punch me in the face, or she's not going to put me in a chokehold.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to be beat by a girl. Right. Sometimes there's a little bit of that. And that was like, I need to make sure that I'm on my game here. So he said, they're not thinking about that. He said, they also don't want to be the asshole in the room, the dude in the room that hurts the one girl.
Yeah.
The few girls in the room. Like, they don't want to be that asshole. So there can be some weirdness in the space. I've had a couple of guys where I've had to put some boundaries on. But in general, like, the vast majority of the time, I just had this conversation with one of my systema friends, is that there is a protection that they have over you too. Like, they're watching out for you, even as you're training with somebody else, especially if you're a more consistent training partner. I'll notice, like, they'll be, you know, I went to this big, big event, like, one of my main systema partners, he'd be like watching me with other people's, like, is she okay? You know, and that, when I went to this big system event in South Carolina, Oh my God, my tire popped out because I like was stressed and I rode up on a curb. Like all this chaos happened, right? It was like chaos. And the masculine provision and protection that came in was just so amazing
Yeah.
without like an attachment to it, right? These were like, married men with families, but that was just the way that they functioned. That was the way that they operated. That was a way of the martial arts, is to lead with integrity, to protect yourself and others. So absolutely, that's been phenomenal to be around those men.
Yeah. How do you feel now, like when you're just walking around the world compared to how you used to feel? Like, do you feel just safe?
I feel like I want more training to know if something happened, if somebody physically grabbed me, I'd be able to get out of it. So I am continually humbled in martial arts, right? Because I work with amazing training partners and they grab me and put me in positions where I'm like, oh, my neck just got sliced, like I'm like, oh. So I want to continue with the training. My embodiment of inner security and inner calm is definitely better, definitely better. And I have more of that situational awareness so I can know, like, am I just being paranoid, or if something happens, can I escape? I feel like I'm able to detect unhealthy masculine energy better, or more of that predator energy better, instead of just defaulting into, well, most men might try to do something, so I just need to push them all over here. So I feel much more relaxed. And the other thing is noticing how most men are actually protective, that I feel like I
Totally.
can depend sometimes on male strangers in a way that I never thought I could before, because
Yeah,
I just
and
thought they
maybe
would try to
wouldn't have
take advantage.
been, yeah, and like me wouldn't have been even open to finding that out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now I am, and now I'm like, wow, like most men really do want to help. And that actually makes them feel good that they can be in that position to help protect women. And it doesn't make me weak, right? It doesn't make me like, I was just saying this to one of my friends the other day, that I used to be like, I'm a strong, independent woman. Like, I can carry all my own groceries and I can do all this. And it's like, great. And that energy was coming from a place of like,
Fuck
I'm
you, I
fine.
don't need anyone.
I don't need anyone. I'm a strong, independent woman. It's just like this attitude about it. But now I'm like, yeah, I can hold my own. And it's nice to also know that I can count on the protection of other men, where I don't feel so alone.
Yeah. I would love to give people something to be able to do. So I feel like ultimately, even though I think it's extremely beneficial to know that you could physically protect yourself in some way and like have that experience. And I think for me, at least in a lot of ways, having that experience, even just a little, allows me to more firmly like uphold verbal boundaries. But I feel like, the ideal is to not even get to a place of physically fighting, right? If at all possible. So I'd love to like maybe give people some like signs, like things to look out for, or like ways that we handle that sort of interaction. Like if a man approaches you or he's being kind of creepy, like, maybe if you could go back to that time at Whole Foods, what would you do differently? Or like the guy coming to your house, what did you do? That kind of thing. Like what does it look like for people?
I was proud of myself when that guy came
Tell
onto the property. Let me tell
us
you,
the
because
story. Tell us the story, because I read your post, but other people don't know it. And I was impressed. I was impressed. I was like, I don't know. If someone came to my house, I would have trouble sleeping that night, probably.
and that's what had happened in the past. So this isn't the first time someone's come on the property. So we live out in the woods off of the highway, and but we live close enough to town, so people can walk down the highway. It's not like a big like I-95 or something like that. It's like a country highway, right? So I can see it from where I'm sitting. So people generally aren't going to be walking on this country highway unless,
Yeah.
they're They don't have a car. They're just on foot wandering around. Okay. And you can't see the house from the road. So it's a great house in theory to go see if you can find what's going on. And the cars are all parked to the side of the house. And it was dusk. And usually my man is home because for a while he wasn't staying at home. He was living 2 hours away. And that was uncomfortable. So this was the one night a week where he was gone until like 9, 9:30. And I've got two dogs. I intentionally got a Rottweiler she's 80 pounds now because she's sweet as a button, but she doesn't look sweet as a button all the time. And then I've got another 80 pound dog. So I was in the house. It was dusk. We have an open concept house. So it's just like a big room. And then it's got a big front porch as well with the stairs leading up. And it was dusk. So the blinds were still up. So essentially the entire interior of the house was illuminated. And I was sitting on the couch and Sage, the Rottweiler, was in the room. And then I heard somebody coming up the steps really quickly, which leads into that front porch. And I hadn't seen a car. Sometimes we get the Amazon drop-offs. And before I even could get up off the couch, they were trying to open up the screen door onto the front porch. And it didn't feel good. I was like, this feels like a lot. I don't see an Amazon car. Sage started freaking out and runs to the door. My other dog runs to the door. So I get up really quickly and there's an older man standing there with a backpack trying to get into the front porch. And he sees me. So he's like trying to get my attention, like waving at me while my dogs are going berserk. And I'm saying like, no, go away. You know, if he was extremely injured, okay, then I'd be like, all right, this man doesn't have an arm. All right, I'll call the police for you inside the house.
Yeah.
He had all his limbs. He wasn't bleeding. Like he didn't look, you know, like anything was physically wrong with him.
Did he look angry? Like what?
No.
He
didn't look
trying
angry.
To get in?
Yeah. He just was like, I want to go here. You know, like, hey, 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 you know, like trying to get my attention. I'm like, what kind of woman and person, but also a woman is going to come out and open the door for you. Like you're insane. So dogs are going crazy and I'm trying to wave him off and I say, no, go away. And he's not listening and he's not leaving. So I have my phone in my hand. So I held up my phone and I finally said like, F off, like F off. I'm like, I'm going to call the police. And then he just kind of was like, ugh, and walked down the stairs. And he ended up, he was a criminal. He stole somebody's motorbike and left it in our driveway. So what had probably happened was the motorbike ran out of gas. He was fishing around, maybe like, oh, he's in this area, you know. So he dropped off the motorbike. So we had to call the sheriff to like, hey, we got a stolen vehicle. So they got the original owner back. So he wasn't up to any good. You know, he was already, you know, stealing people's property and then coming up on our property. And when that had happened before, several years prior, a man had tried to come up on the porch. I was actually in a session with a client watching. I remember my client was on the call and I was like, wait, 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 wait. Like there's a guy trying to come up the stairs. There's no car in the driveway. I see him fumbling with his wallet and he pulls out a credit card. What do you do with credit cards? You try to open up doors. So he's coming up the stairs, but there's a security system sign, or it could have been the beware of dog sign. It was one or the other. And then I see him turn around and put the card back in and go. And then our mosquito treatment guy came like soon after. And I said, when he came down and I was like, did you see a man out there? Like, is there a man that broke down? Like what, you know, I was trying, maybe he's a worker. He was giving me a business card. There was no business cards, right? He took out a credit card and the mosquito guy was nice. He went all around the property to look for the guy. He said there was no car up there. I didn't see any guy anywhere. And so I was like that. But when that happened, I was terrified. Like that night, I told my man, I was like, we need a whole security system. I don't feel safe here. Completely different response.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very, very different. So this time I felt like I could be assertive. My heart rate came up a little bit, you know, when I heard him coming up the stairs really quick, there was an immediate like this doesn't already feel good. But then when I saw him, it was just, you know, it's like your brain quickly evaluates the situation. I'm like, the door is locked. I've got my two dogs. Like I've got my phone in my hand. what I should have done too is look at where his hands were. And that's one thing to look for is, you know, where are their hands? If somebody's coming to you, and what I just learned this weekend when I was hanging with my Sistema friends, he said that in jail, if one of the guys are coming too close, they'll put their hand up and say 5 feet. If they come closer than that, like they know that something real bad's going to happen. So if you say to somebody and they're coming with you and you put your hand up and you say 5 feet and they jump,
yeah,
well, then they might have been in jail a time or two because they know that lingo.
Interesting.
So what you're supposed to do is put your hand up. You know, obviously I was inside, but you put your hand up and say 5 feet or no more or no, too close. And then you watch to see where their hands are to see, do they have a weapon?
Huh.
You know, are they doing anything with their hands?
Yeah. This actually just reminded me, I had forgotten all about it, that, cause I think like I had said that after doing this training, I felt so much like more secure in my nervous system and felt calm, but, two falls. So like a year and a half ago or more, I was in such a shaken nervous system state. I had just gone through that whole cult experience. I was just like, my nervous system felt shot. It was like, I was so jumpy. And there was a night where Jordan went away for a few nights and I was alone here and I still wasn't used to the house yet. It's like an old house and we had just moved in and I was woken up. I was so nervous the first two nights to like be alone. And then I was woken up the third night by like a loud thud under the house. And I freaked out. And now looking, and it was kind of amazing looking back because I was aware of what was happening, but I was so fully, I think especially because I had been sleeping, I was like so thrown into that fight or flight that I just like was so sort of irrational, but like I was so freaked out. And at first I was like, I'm going to fight like whoever this is. And I like went out onto the porch. And then when I went downstairs, like one of the basement doors was open a little.
Ooh.
And it could have been like, I think someone had just left it open, but I was like, there's a man. And I like heard something. I was like, there's a man under the house. And I like ran away and I called the police. I like ran to the neighbors and the police were like, how do you know there's a man under the house? I was like, I just know, like I heard, I remember being really annoyed because I like had called 911 and they were asking me all these questions. They were like, spell your last name. And I was like, I think I'm going to die. So like, I need you to just like get the police. And we live in such a rural, it took the police, I don't even think they took me seriously. It took them like 45 minutes to arrive.
Yep.
And then finally he like came to the neighbors where I was and he was like, do you have a cat? And I was like, no. And he's like, and there was a cat under the house and like rats under the house. And so one rat had gotten caught in like two traps. And so it was just like, but I was so afraid. And then I was scared. And I actually, like, with that and then my knee getting hurt, like, I think I've spent really a lot of the last year or so feeling way more vulnerable just because of, like, the state of my nervous system was in and then being, like, kind of being in visible physical pain to people. Like, when I was limping, I was, like, I think I had said to you on one of our calls, like, I just feel so vulnerable because I, like, look more like prey than I did before. And so I think like it will probably go up and down, right? Like your capacity, maybe depending on what is happening in
yeah, when
life.
You feel injured.
Yeah, because I feel like just that was a big thing for me, that when I was like, wow, I really, I'm like not okay. Like I'm not responding in the way that I used to be able to respond. And I think that's why this last situation felt so good to me in a way, where because the guy, he just followed me. Like, I don't know where he saw me walking from, but like I was on a highway and somehow he had to make this split second decision to like turn off the road into this apartment complex. And I just feel lucky that I, like you said at the beginning, like I turned directly toward him. Like I was annoyed. And I think
yeah.
that what a lot of people would do, a lot of women, especially because we're so trained to be nice.
Yep.
Is like, he was in a car, like some sort of van, like SUV thing. And he just pulled right next to me. And I was like, this is weird behavior. And I'm like, not having it. Like, I just like, and I didn't think he's coming to get me at first. I just thought, like, don't intrude on my space in a way that makes me afraid. Like, I was pissed. And so my first reaction when he rolled down the window was like, yes. Like, what do you want? And I think that it could have gone entirely differently had I been like, yes, like, what do you know? Just like friendly, like, oh, or like, you know, whatever. And then he was like, I'm going. And then he like gestured up and down to my body. He was like, I just, or no, he said, I just got distracted. And I was like, by what? And he like went up and down. And I like felt so violated because I was not wearing a bra. I was just like in a tank top. Like, and I normally am like that, like walking around. And I just felt so like, ew. And I was like, you have to go now. Like, get away from it. I was like so pissed. And I just got so angry. I like faced him directly. And I was like in fight mode. Like, I will fight. I was just like, get out of here immediately. And he like, okay. And he like turned around and I like watched him leave. And I was also surprised that I didn't then, I was pissed. Like when I got home, I was pissed. And then later that evening, I was like a little sad. But then it like passed and I was like, okay. And I just felt, but mostly I felt proud. I was like, I got him to leave by my just like verbal response.
I've done the same. I was at this apartment and it was kind of a sketchier area. And this guy was like rolling by me and he made some like sexual gesture or something. And I just was like, ew, like really? And then he was like, oh yeah, ew. And then he felt super awkward and just like drove away. And I just thought that was so funny. I was like, yeah, like, dude, I'm gonna call you out on your nastiness. And then another guy was trying to approach me and I was walking the dog. He was on his bike and he was trying to like, hey girl, hey, as my dog's taking a shit and I have to go pick up his dog shit, I just turned to him, I said, you're trying to get my attention all this, you see my dog shit, you want to go pick up his dog shit, be a nice gentleman, get off your bike and pick up my dog shit if you want to keep harassing me. And then he was so like off put, he was like, oh okay, and like he started to get off his bike and I was like, no, I'll pick up my own dog shit, but because I didn't want to feel like obligated to keep connecting with him. But I have felt the same where I was able to be more assertive and not immediately see them as this terrible threat that, that we can diffuse those situations. I always thought that if I was to give them direct eye contact and say something, that it could escalate the situation. So I was taught more of the fawn response. Like I had a colleague and she was walking on the beach in Mexico where she lives, and there's nobody else around. This guy was kind of talking with her and she's like, okay, I'll be nice. And then he went to ask her if she wanted a hug, and she didn't want to hug this man, but she just ended up saying yes. And she realized, like, oh, that was more of like this fawn response of like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Because if she had said no, she realized she could have made him angry, or maybe he would have forced himself on her, something like that. So it's interesting the way that our nervous system will naturally respond and how we want to train ourselves to be like, no, that's unacceptable behavior, to be too close to me, or so on and so forth.
I think too, I mean, it does. I have had that happen, like gross comments when I was in the back of an Uber. And that's like different because your safety is like they're controlling the car,
Oh,
right?
that'd
And
be hard for
so
me. Yeah.
I remember just being like, I think they were taking me to the airport. And I remember just kind of being like, yeah, huh? Just like not really giving much of an answer, but not pushing back because I just didn't. I was like, this
Yep.
guy's driving the car. Like, what do I? So I think, I guess you do have to be able to modulate a little bit, like depending on
Yeah.
the
But that's where the
situation.
relaxation is good, because then you can see. That's what I've been learning through system. It's like, oh, then you can create space between the stimulus and the reaction, right? It's like, okay, how do I want to handle this situation? We talk a lot about slowing down time, really slowing down the time and really seeing the bigger picture to not be so reactive. One of my friends who brought me into more self-defense, she was one that really pushed me, right? Where she was the guider, right? Sometimes you need somebody to be like, do this, who you trust in. And she's really big on carrying weapons, having weapons on you in case something happens, or knowing that anything really is a weapon, even on an airplane, You can roll up a newspaper and whack somebody. You have fists, you have nails, right? Like if you go to the eyes, right? Poke somebody in the eye and like they're not gonna have an easy time getting to you, for
Yeah.
example.
Yeah. I think it's so important. Like the woman who was asking me about the guy coming up in the grocery store, right? And being just like trying to hit on her, be like kind of gross and degrading with his comments. It's like, I really think your initial response, I think it can change in escalation depending on the behavior of the person. But I've found I can very pleasantly say, like, I'm not interested in talking to you. You know,
Yeah.
and like that can be that's not a rude sentence. Like some women are like, that's such a rude thing, or like it's not rude to say I'm just not interested in this. Like I don't
Yeah.
want to talk. And I've found a lot of success actually in, 'cause I think when I was younger, I was a lot more like a bit more like the girl you described when you first got into Krav,
More
where it was
assertive,
like
like, get
just
up.
more like, you know, just guarded and like intense. And I think now I've softened a lot more. And so my initial response, depending on the like creepy level of behavior of the person, but if it feels relatively innocent and it's just like, you know, some comment or like some, but it's not super rude, I might just be like, I'm just not interested. No, thank you.
Totally.
Thanks so much, but like, no, I don't
Yes,
want to
because
talk to you.
sometimes, like for a man to go up to a woman, like for most men, that's terrifying, right? That's
Yeah.
like terror. They might, or if they're autistic, they're on the spectrum, they might say things that come out all sorts of wrong and weird that to us sound really creepy and like, dude. But sometimes they just don't know. So I've learned to give men the benefit of the doubt is that most men are not predators. It's usually a man who's a repeat offender, right? And we say, like, we
Yeah.
hear all these stories. It's usually like it's not the majority of men. And switching that frame of mind was really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I found it really easy to just be like, thank you. Like, you know, I appreciate that compliment. And like, just knowing, like, I don't owe you anything just because you gave me that
Yes.
compliment. Just like, thanks. And now
Yep.
I like our interaction ends here. And then you can choose to escalate. Like I had said to this woman, like, you know, if a man keeps persisting, even when you're like, no, I'm not interested, then you escalate. And like, then you can be louder and be like, hey, everybody, this man is like he's harassing me in front of my children. Everyone, like this guy, like, you know, you can get more like cause a scene.
You can rely on the protection of other people because again, most people are good, right? We were talking about protective man energies, but also I remember when this guy wanted to come sit with me while I was up north. And I was like, okay, this guy can come sit. Like he wanted to chat, right? And I was like, okay, like I'm alone. I'm sitting alone. Okay, dude, you can come sit. But we were outside of this taco place, and on the inside were girls sitting on like a booth right next to the window. And they were like tapping on the window, and they were like, okay, right? They were like making things like, do we need to come out and like tell him to go off? And I was like, no, it's fine. Like I consented to him sitting here. And he was nice. He ended up paying for my tacos, and we had a great conversation. And then he left his phone number on a napkin and left, right? Like it was super respectful and kind and not pushy. And again, we had a great conversation, but the girls were there looking out, right? They were like, we saw that interaction happen. Is she okay? Because, and that's also something I learned through self-defense is it's not always protecting yourself, it's protecting other people, especially I think
Totally.
children, if children, are put in those situations, they don't always know, they don't have the training. I train every week with my friend's 10 and 13 year old, and her 13 year old recently, they were at like a farmer's market or something, and the man, this older man, kind of bumped into her, and she said, oh, sorry, or something like that. And he was like, oh, you can bump into me again, right? He's saying this to a 13-year-old girl. And he's like, same place, same time. Like he was just being so weird and gross. And my friend didn't quite tell me how she responded, but after she was mad, right? She was like, you were, she was just like mad of like, who's this creepy dude? And da 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 da. And he thinks he can. And I was like, good, because it's only unfortunately begun for her as life being a woman out in the world is that we're gonna get men doing these things. And I think just recognizing that's part of being a female. It just is. And I learned, in America, I just saw one of my friend's friends, she's was in France, and she said it's way worse, like out in France, the harassment that you get from men. I didn't expect that, but she said very, very intense out there. So she said when she moved to the States, it's actually much less. So can you imagine what we handle in America, that it could be, obviously far worse in many other countries, to, for that 13-year-old girl to realize, like, you know what, you're gonna deal with creepy old men again. You're gonna deal with a lot of men that are gonna, their energy is gonna be all over you, and what are you gonna do? We don't have to demonize all men for it. We don't have to make it mean all of these stories, right? Because I would spiral out of like, why are men like this? I feel unsafe as a woman. I'm inherently vulnerable as a woman. This sucks. Like, there was a lot of energy in charge. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, it's my responsibility to protect myself. This is the way things are. How can I be more neutral about this and just protect myself and take responsibility for my personal safety and hopefully be able to help others if need be?
Yeah, I think that's like one of the most empowering things you can do is to not have it then extrapolate onto all men, is to kind of like, 'cause that's actually, it's like reclaiming something for yourself. It's just like you're so much more empowered in that state when you're like, you can welcome in like good men and healthy men and discern between the two and have boundaries with ones who are not, and just like you would with any person, really.
That was probably the most, one of the most transformational things about going deeper into personal protection work, is being able to know I can set boundaries. That means I can welcome really great masculine energy into my life. I can be in, physically intimate situations with them and also feel safe, like they're not going to get weird about it, which was really helpful too, and that they're actually going to be protective, even if they're physically attracted to you, they can still move that aside. And that's really powerful to see too, of mature men who know how to separate that and still have those boundaries. Was just, it makes the world seem a lot more safe. It makes moving as a woman feel a lot more safe, is that, oh, men have this capability and they are more naturally protective than I used to give them credit for.
Yeah, I
Oops.
think it is also so freeing, I think, to be able to give yourself permission to be quote unquote rude, or just like, you know, like you don't have to be nice and accommodating to everyone. And yeah, just being able to, like, I remember that there was one sort of training I was in that we shouted no, but like in all different, she had us like in all different tones of voice. So like there was like the mean, angry no, but then there was also like pleasant, like what if it's like a soft and pleasant no, or like a loud and pleasant no?
I
Like what does
love
that
that.
feel like, you know? And it's like being able to be like no, but like joyfully no. And
Yeah.
that also was so impactful for me, because it kind of made me realize like saying no can be like joyful for me. Like saying no, and that is more how I feel now in like a more innocent interaction with a man or with anyone. Just being able to like that feeling of just being like, I can say no, and this is like delightful. Like it's not like, oh
Yes.
no, and I'm like internally shaming myself, and oh, sorry, I have to say no, and oh, I really feel bad.
Yes.
It's just like, no.
Oh
Like,
my God, I've never
I
thought of it
don't
that
have
way. But I told, when you said it, I'm like, wow, I really get that. Because usually, like, they respond to that too. They're almost like confused. And you're like, no, like, I'm good. And you're just like, no, like, I'm good with that. And you just walk away. Like, it doesn't have to be like this whole, like, no, it can be a different type of no, because you're so confident that your no matters. It's almost like you don't have to be that forceful, because you're like, no, and my no has weight, whether it's a joyful no or more of an angry no that I had to tell that guy to F off.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good way to put it. It's like your no, there's nothing wrong with your no.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's not like accompanied by this self-shaming. It's just like, no, thank you.
No,
No.
I'm good. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
It's a fun exercise. Okay, well, do you feel like, is there anything else you want to tell people about like self-defense, or just any part of this conversation that you feel is important that we left out?
I think looking at our beliefs around violence is really helpful when we go into something like this, because we often think of violence as like this terrible thing, and but I think accepting that protection, self-protection is our personal responsibility. Just like we have, you know, eat good food and we exercise and, you know, we do all these things, like personal protection is our personal responsibility. And if not for us, then for our children or somebody else who we want to protect, or just for strangers, right? That if we're seeing somebody who can't say no, but we've done that training, we can say no for them, right? We can be the voice of other people who can't. And that's a better place to be than otherwise. So not seeing it as this whole thing of like, oh, it's so violent and bad, right? Is that like sometimes violence is good. Like as one of my friends would put it, like if this person's trying to extinguish my universe, right? Like I want to extinguish theirs first. Like if they're going to come with that energy, like I matter, you know, that's what I think of the whole core also of personal protection is like, I matter and I'm going to do the things to train to make sure that I can stand up for myself. So I don't get hurt. So it's not this big, you know, aggressive, super violent, like bad thing. It's just being human, you know, animals do it. They know how to be violent and aggressive. It's just more nuanced with humans because of the communication and so on and so forth. But it's a natural thing to be able to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong or weird about it.
No. I mean, you reminded me, I forgot all about this, that there was a time, this is how I used to be more when I was younger, is that I was out like at a bar, like very crowded bar with a friend, and everyone was drinking, and she was like, that guy over there just grabbed my butt. And I was like pissed. I was like, which guy? And I went over to him and I was like, did you just grab my friend's butt? And he was like, oh, like, you could tell he did, but he was like, what? And I just kneed him in the balls and walked away. Now, thinking back on it, I'm like, Devatra, that's not maybe the best way to go. But
that
was
a little harsh, maybe. But
I was just like, but yeah, what I think when it comes to protecting others too, like I'm just even more, it's just like, you know, she didn't stand up for herself at all. She was just like, ran away. And I was like, fuck you, dude. You don't get to do that. Yep. I had a lot more anger toward men at the time.
when I train with one of my friends, when the instructor's going at her, like I get ramped up. I'm like, do not hurt my friend. You know, like I want to get in there. You're like, you know, but they're like training and having fun. But that, I think it's interesting. Like more intensity will usually come up when you see somebody being harmed, even just a stranger, you know, like it's just instinct to want to protect them. You know, and it, you know, the more that they know how to protect themselves, the better too, because we're not always going to be around. And that was a big thing for me too, is not assuming. I always call it my man shield, you know, because I'm usually out with my man. I'm like, he's my man shield, right? He's like 6'6", like nobody's going to mess with us.
Yeah.
But he's not always around. Sometimes I travel alone. I won't always have my dogs with me, you know, so also we can get into this like, oh, well, it's okay because I have my man shield or I have my dogs or da da da. It's like, you never know. You never know what circumstance you're going to be in. And it doesn't mean that we're paranoid. It just means we're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Or as they say, one of my friends said the other day, I forget where this quote comes from. It's like, I'd be better to be a little bit paranoid than a little bit dead is the quote. So. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I think that awareness is really good. I think another thing that is important to name too is like, when you first start setting any sort of verbal boundaries, it's probably going to be messy. Like you're not going to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
And I think giving yourself permission to go through that process is also important. Like, cause I just feel like any situation that I've ever had, you know, you can look back at it and be like, oh, I could have said this better, or I could have like reacted differently in this way. And I think it's like, it just comes with practice a lot of the time. And like, maybe you get to practice it out, like with, like, you know, you get to do training or you get to do whatever and you get to practice it that way. Or maybe you just get to practice it like by doing it more and more. And then looking back, I think it's important to not look back and like, then be like, oh, I did it wrong or I didn't do it well enough. It's like, you're gonna not do it. Like, you're just gonna only get better at it, I think.
Yes. Super important. Yeah. It keeps you humble. I always think self-defense really keeps you humble. When you said like, do you feel safe walking around? I'm like, I do, but like I'm humbled all the time with my male training partners because they will just wrap me up like a little pretzel and I don't know what happens, you know?
Yeah.
So it just, consistently makes you better, and you should enjoy the process too. Like, I wouldn't be doing a lot of this if I also didn't enjoy it. But it's fun, it's enjoyable. There, you know, we do also like massage in the training. We do a lot of just like breath and movement. It's one of the best things I've done for nervous system health, is I feel so relaxed. So doing a personal protection that you enjoy is also good too, and getting diversification of like dabbling in a little jiu-jitsu or doing a little bit of kickboxing or judo or MMA, you know, things like that, of just getting yourself in a variety of different positions that are uncomfortable, but within your capacity, is preferred rather than having panic attacks as well.
Yeah.
But
Do you think some are like, if a woman wants to begin doing some sort of like self-defense or martial arts, do you think some are better for beginning than others? Or do you think it's more just like do what feels most enjoyable? Or like, what would
well, I'm biased now towards Sistema because I
you
find it
just
to
love
be a really good foundation. Because
that?
it's the foundation is the nervous system work. You could use all the techniques in the world, but as Krav Maga put it, you get mitten hands when you are under stress. You lose your fine motor skills. Your brain goes away. So you want to be able to train your nervous system,
I don't know
whatever
if they
martial
have
art you're
that
doing.
near me. I've never heard of
They don't. I know. It's like this underground thing. I don't know why it's so
it.
like not. It's not really here in Gainesville. Like, we had to start our own little training group,
Oh, you did.
you know? Yeah, like we had to like gather people around, and it took years for us to even gather people because it's so underground. There's stuff online, but it's not the same as in person.
Wow.
Obviously, you need the contact, but so I'm a little bit biased towards Sistema because it's a good entry point. I personally enjoy jiu-jitsu because I find grappling's fun. So that, and I knew that the most terrifying position for me would probably be with a large man on top of me. So I was like, well, let me put myself there. Let me see if I
Yeah.
can breathe while I'm being held down and choked. And I did that for a year and a half. Krav Maga I felt like was a little bit too intense, but maybe people like striking more, right? And
Yeah.
punching. Or if your friend wants to try a Krav class, go ahead. Like, I find it really helpful if your friends are going. Like, my friend was a jiu-jitsu instructor, so I always went to her class because then you always know you can train with that partner too. Like, when I was doing jiu-jitsu and really uncomfortable with it, I trained with my female partner for over 6 months only because I was so uncomfortable training with the dudes. And then I felt comfortable enough to move on because I feel like where women get stuck, women in particular, is that they'll go in, they'll have a bad experience, they're training with a bad partner who hurts them. You always want to train with the more advanced person in the room, always. Like, I never train with white belts in jiu-jitsu anymore because they're crazy. They're just as crazy as you. White belts are like the beginning, right? So you train with the most experienced person in the room, or you have a training partner you know you can rely on, so you can have the most positive experiences almost every time you go. Get humbled, but you don't want to get injured or so freaked out you never go back. There's no need to push yourself to those edges, at least in the beginning, while you're warming up and like getting accustomed to it. And then sure, push your edges. But
And people should be really understanding of that, right? Like the instructors and the people in the room. Like you should
yeah.
expect that they should be supportive.
I found that them to be very supportive when I've gone into different, you know, because I've done a couple different gyms as well, and I found that they were really supportive. And I learned, this is great advice from one of my training friends, especially when I went to this big event by myself. It was like 100 people, 90% men. And she said, choose your training partner, Jess, because otherwise somebody else will choose you and you don't know what energy they're carrying. They don't know what their ego's like. You don't know their training skill. So I had to learn to set my boundaries sometimes to training partners and say, no, I don't want to train with you. Like, I want to train with this person. So I found the best training partners are usually the people that the instructor brings up to the front of the room to demonstrate with. Because they're going to demonstrate well, and you go train with that person. You train with the best person in the room. You're going to learn the most, and you're going to stay the safest because the most skilled person in the room is also going to know how to keep you the most safe. And they're going to understand your way at the beginning, and they're going to be able to go slower.
That's great. So, tell people like where they could find you, what you're kind of doing right now to sort of wrap up. Like, I'd love to be able to direct people your way.
So let's see where people can find me. So it's interesting, since going through this whole like journey with healing relationship with men and safety in my body, I used to exclusively train women. And now I'm coming back around to training more women. I still train men, but I'm going back to training women and helping them get stronger in their bodies and lift weights and feel more present and relaxed and attuned with their body, which leads into the self-defense. So I'm leading some classes in that. I don't have a website for it, but they can find me on Facebook just at Jess Mather.
I can link it.
Don't. Yeah, linking, because I don't like Instagram that much. You tag me in the stories and then a bunch of people start following me. I'm like, I don't know how to do Instagram. I'm sorry, I'll post once a week. But I'm on Instagram at Live Rehabited, and then my website and links are connected with that. But yeah, I'll post more on Facebook because it doesn't limit my characters. It allows me to.
Yeah, you're right. Longer.
You know, because you have to put your things
so
in the
annoying.
Comments.
Yeah, I do.
So annoying. So I'm like, Instagram, you're not my jam. So Facebook's probably the easiest way with my name.
Yeah. Cause you're doing, like, you have such a strong background also in rehab work and like chronic pain and all that. And then you also are doing this, like teaching women how to lift and
strong. Yeah. That. It's all the same. It's all the same of helping people feel safe and strong. And that's why I used to compare somebody who is injured to somebody like a woman who feels unsafe in her body because she's just naturally female or more petite or more vulnerable. It's the same. We're feeling afraid. We're feeling physically vulnerable. And
so, go ahead. Sorry.
Strength is often the answer, right? Like building up our emotional strength and our physical strength and our abilities and capacity.
Well, even that piece is like the building muscle. I forgot all about that, how important that was for me at the beginning. You know, just even feeling like, oh, I can like lift myself up in the air. Like I feel physically like capable of things. That is so huge.
What do they say in Sistema? Like the healthiest man will win, something like that. Like like if you're the healthier one, you're probably going to win that match. Like if you, like they say in Sistema, like you need to exercise, like you need to be physically fit because a fight is physically intensive. Like you could poke an eye out, or, you know, also when you're doing a ball kick, what I learned is you don't go straight forward. You go under.
Yeah.
You got to go under and up. Yeah, under and up, because otherwise it might not do it if you just try to go straight. Like you got to get the technique, because otherwise you could just really piss them off.
Yeah.
And then they're coming after you. So you want to get it right the first time. But you want to be strong. You want to be able to stand on one leg to do that, or feel your body will have a somatic knowledge that you're able to get away.
Yeah.
Right. So your physical health and your physical fitness is important as well.
So this could be good even for a woman who, like, I remember when I did a lot more lifting, like, women would often say to me they're intimidated to even go into the gym, right? And it sounds like kind of what you're doing now is pretty geared toward that, where it's, like, a woman who is, like, has no experience really lifting weights or is, like, kind of intimidated by a gym setting or whatever, like, this might be a good fit for her.
Totally. Yeah, because we train a lot at home, because I find that when we're training at home, at least in the beginning, you can pay more attention, right? You're not worried about your external environment. You can take rest breaks that look kind of crazy, howling or rolling around on the ground. We talk a lot about taking good rest breaks in between our lifting. So it can be a little bit more of a enjoyable, playful experience versus like, oh, I got to go in the gym and people are watching me and da, da, da. And then you forget how to do your form and so on and so forth. Like I even sometimes feel overwhelmed in a gym. Because I'm just not used to it, right? Versus training in the safe environment where you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And build up that ability. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I'll put the links in the show notes for anyone to find you more.
Cool.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. That was a great conversation. This is important to me, and I'm no expert in self-defense. That's for sure. It's just my own personal thing that I keep going through, and I'm very, very grateful for my friend who's a trauma therapist, who told me, you know, she said one of her things that she said is I asked her, because she works with traumatized children in particular and families, and I said, when is abuse going to stop? Like, is there ever not going to be trauma people abusing children and, you know, assault and all these things? And she said, it stops when we stop letting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It stops when we stop letting it. Like, don't let the abuse happen. And it's not to blame the victim, obviously. If we couldn't say no, our nervous system responded a certain way, we didn't have the tools or resources. But when we get out of those situations, well, now we get to have perspective. Like, okay, she teaches those kids like how to say no. She teaches them like how to throw a freaking punch, and she tells the parents, I'm gonna teach your kid if they need to defend themselves and somebody's coming onto them, what they need to do, because
Yeah.
it might just save their life.
Gosh. Yeah, and imagine just like teaching all kids that, then you would it have a big impact, right?
Huge impact. If they could say no and say this isn't right, we might be able to, as one guy said, with these he works with homeless populations and they're all addicted to drugs and so on and so forth. And people have asked him, how do we save these traumatized individuals? And he said, we can't. He says, or it can be very, very difficult. He said, we start at the children. We have to start at the children. We have to make sure they're resourced, they're protected, they know how to protect themselves so they don't end up on the streets or on drugs or allowing people into their life that aren't supposed to be there, because they can say, no, this isn't right. I matter. This isn't okay for me. But we
Well, and
have to normalize
imagine,
that in society.
yeah, and imagine if you had had that from the beginning, right? I'm just thinking, like, if I had already known, like, it's okay to say no. It's not like not nice or rude. It's just like if you just had that knowledge and embodiment from the beginning, you wouldn't have to like undo all the other conditioning
Yep,
and then learn how to
exactly.
do it differently. You'd just have it,
Yep.
which would be so different. Okay, I'll also tell everyone that I was reminded that if you there's I when I had that experience with the man, I made a series of stories on Instagram, and I put it in a highlight, and it's called, so on my Instagram there's a highlight called self, I think I called it self defense, and if you want to watch, there's a video of that training that I did, where I like fight off one of those attackers, and it's pretty like it can be pretty intense to watch for people,
Yep.
but a lot of women, every time I like post that video, people message me and they're like, whoa, like they some women have never even seen an example of like what that could look like. So to be
Yep.
able to watch it is really impactful. That's in that highlight. It's all the way at the end of that highlight. So if you just like click through, that video is there to find too. So
I remember that video you posted it a while ago on Facebook, and I think I watched it multiple times. I was like, what the heck
there are
is
actually a bunch
this?
of them. I wish I could find the others because it is really like you get to watch, like, and God bless those men. I actually wrote to
Oh
the woman
yeah.
who did that training, and she just emailed me back yesterday because I just wrote to thank her. Like after that incident, I was like, wow, you know what? Like I've never really told you how much this has impacted my life, and I just like wrote it all out. But she wrote back, and I had mentioned the men, and she said she calls them unicorn men because what's so incredible about these men that do this is like, they're willing, like they're able to do the physical work of like, you know, they're totally padded, but like being beaten up and kind of be there physically. But they're also, it's like shadow work. They're able to go to this place in their minds and in their bodies to act out this like creepy guy and catch you off guard and say things that you're not prepared for. And so they have to be able to like go there in themselves and kind of become the creepy guy in order to help you. Like I get goosebumps when I talk about it because they like go to
Yeah.
that place in order to help you act it out so that you can defend yourself against that like aspect of that male energy. It's just like,
I think it's
wow.
fantastic.
Yeah, it's
Jason
so
used to
human.
say, when he used to train the girls in Krav Maga, he said that if they didn't run away fast enough from him, if they didn't get away, he'd grab their ankles and just yank them to the ground. Like he was just like, nope.
Yeah.
Because he'd say, like, this is the way it's going to be. He said, if I really want to make sure that you're safe, we need to put you in these situations. So it's this weird, like, paradox where they're like the creepy man, coming at you, but they're doing it from such a place of safety and they're playing that role for your best interest.
Yeah, it's so special. It's like, it's such a gift, really. It's like, wow. Yeah.
Yep, and those men exist. Like, and that's how
Yeah.
I see all my male training partners, is that they're beating me up, they're putting me on headlocks, they're punching me in the face, like they're punching me in the stomach, they're pulling my knee out from underneath me, and they're doing it. We always say in Sistema, we fight with love. We always fight with love. Whether it's some stranger on the street as well, you fight with love. They think healing and fighting is actually one and the same. So there's a whole other thing with it, but that, we want to help that person get better when they're our training partners. That's what we're doing,
Yeah.
and there's a special intimacy and bond that you make with your training partners when you do it. There's something special about it. I really think fighting is a natural part of who we are as a human being, as a species. And when we can play with that and practice it in ways that aren't shameful or bad or weird, it brings us closer to ourselves in a lot of ways.
Totally. Yeah.
Cool. We went, we blabbed the blabs
Yeah.
hour and a half.
Thank you so much, Jess.
You're welcome.
And
Thank you.
for everyone else, that's all for now, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bam.